And my message tonight is, are you living for today or tomorrow? Are you living for today or living for tomorrow? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, seer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. In the Bible, we have a number of illustrations of people who live for today, and a number of illustrations of people who live for tomorrow. In Luke chapter 12, we have the account of the rich fool. And the Lord Jesus said, the ground of a certain rich man, Luke 12:16, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 is another man who lived for today and not tomorrow. Luke 15, verse 11. A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, forgive me this portion, the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that is, in other words, when his brain returned to his head, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Living for today. Ask a little child. You want to have an ice cream today? Or do you want two ice creams next week? Now, the real answer is they'll say both. But if you give them a chance between now and next week, it's going to be now. Living for today. Proverbs chapter 7. The Bible talks about the foolish young man. Verse 21. With her much fair speech she causeth him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Of course, in the Bible, there are those who live for tomorrow. Of course, we would think of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we have a tremendous illustration of a man who's living for tomorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus Christ, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Notice the now of the Apostle Paul. Troubled, persecuted, bearing in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. All these things. That's today. But what's tomorrow? While we look not at the things which are seen, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, verse 17, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, there is a great lesson of life. Either you live for today, or you live for tomorrow. You live for today, or you live for tomorrow. The great temptation of young people is to live for today. The great temptation of life is to sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the temporary. It is an issue that faces every man, woman, and child. It is one of the great issues of life. Will you live for today or will you live for tomorrow? In Proverbs 6, I think we find the illustration from nature of the principles of a person, of a situation, living for the future. You know, the problem of Christianity today is exactly this. Is churches are living for today. They want the crowd today. They don't care what product they're turning out. They just want the crowd today. They just want the seeming moving of God today. Tomorrow tells the whole story, or the real story. You know, missions is all about tomorrow. The ministry is either you're working for today or you're working for tomorrow. You're working for the short term or you're working for the long term. Obviously, the Bible is telling us that God's people always ought to be looking for the long term, not the short term. The ant. Notice what the Bible says about the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provideth her meat in the summer. You know what summer is all about? Vacation. That's what summer is all about. Man, beautiful weather. You know, fishing, you know, lying under a shade tree, enjoying the wind, you know, summer. Really? Well, what does ant say? The ant works while others play. The ant works while others play. You know, that's a philosophy of life. Either you live for tomorrow or you live for today. If you live for today, you aren't ready for tomorrow. And if you're living for tomorrow, you will work while others play. You know, that's kind of human. When you have good weather, like this last week, you know, you think, man, I ought to be on vacation. That's what I'll be doing. I'll be just taking it easy, man. This is great weather. Now, I'm not against vacations. But I think vacations are for a purpose. And the purpose is to recoup so you can go back to work with more energy and with more motivation and with renewed vigor of mind. But notice the ant. She's working while others are playing. What does that translate into? That translates into, whether it is spiritual or physical, it translates into duty first. Duty first. Not last, but first. That comes first. So, young person, what's your life all about? You have homework to do, and you got the Brewers game. What do you do first? You see, the wishful thinker says, you know what? Later I'll do my homework. Right? Later. Yeah. After your mind is wore out, after you've given the best of your energy and your emotions and your vigor to entertainment. Give God the leftovers. Give life the leftovers. No. No, there's a principle here of duty first. And this is a very important principle of life. You know, obviously, throughout much of history, life was all about getting ready for winter. That's what life was about. Getting ready for winter. The farmers sowed their fields. They planted the crops. They weeded their crops. They took care of their crops. And at the end of the season, they harvested their crops and they put them away for winter. And in winter, they were fixing their machinery and et cetera, so that when springtime came, they could plant their crops. It's kind of interesting if you study different cultures. For instance, the culture of like the people of New Guinea, where it's summertime all the time. They can grow a crop pretty much all year long. And think of their their character. They don't know how to save. They don't know how to be ready for an emergency. They don't think about the future. One of the problems the missionaries have in England, in Kenya, was, and this is a part in many parts of the world where there's poverty, is if they get money for some reason, they will spend it all. And then, when someone dies up country and they need to go to the funeral, they'll go to the missionary and they'll say, you need to give me some money so I can go to my funeral. Boy, that'd seem awful heartless to say, no, I'm not going to give you any money so you can go to your funeral. But you know, they had the money a couple weeks ago, but not to their funeral, relative's funeral. But that's true too. Some people aren't prepared for that funeral, are they? And so The missionary is supposed to say, no, you don't have any money. You didn't save any money. You wasted your money. You live for pleasure, and I'm not going to give you any. And then they'll say, you are heartless. You're a bad missionary. You don't have any compassion. See, the characteristic, and we're getting into the next point here, but the characteristic of the person who lives for tomorrow is they work while others play. They don't live for ease, and they don't live for pleasure. He that loveth wine and pleasure, oil and wine, shall not be rich. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. And you know what? And when it's warm, he won't plow either, because warm is for pleasure. Warm is for relaxation. Warmth is for taking it easy. But the principle is to, number one, duty first. Let me ask you a question. Is duty first? When do you read your Bible? First or last? Is duty first? That's the big question of life. Is duty first? Or does everything else get in the way of duty? The other principle in this is the principle of values. A system of values. You know, some people, in their value system, the most important thing about life, what is it? Pleasure. That's the most important thing. That's what life is all about, right? Especially under Obama and economics. You know, let someone else work and you get a free handout. No, but it's a philosophy of life. Why God pointed out the ant? Because the ant is working and other people aren't. Other ant people. Insect people. They're working. Why? Because they have the right value system. And what happens to the ant type people who don't work in the summer? In the winter, they die. It's a value system, isn't it? And we need to have the right value system. You need to have the right value system for our lives. We need to have the right value system about life. We need to have the right value system about our church. We were discussing in Bible class the other day, 1 Timothy 3:15, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Of course, it's the figure from Greek architecture. The pillar, the column, and the ground, speaking of the foundation under the column. And the Parthenon, like in the Acropolis at Greece, is typical Greek architecture. And the building is supported by the columns. And the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Truth representing the building. You know, the church doesn't invent truth. The church is to hold up the truth. And if the church doesn't hold up the truth, guess what? The truth will crumble down. And in other words, it will be lost. But you know, a lot of Christians, they don't think that way. A lot of churches don't think that way. They don't want to stand for truth. You know why? Because they aren't concerned about tomorrow. I gave the illustration Bible class. We had a lady came to our church many years ago, sweet lady. But it was a very liberal type of Christian family. I knew it was very liberal because the girls, I mean, they were into sophistication, you know, sophisticated culture. The girls were in dance classes and all these kind of worldly things that are ungodly. But, you know, sophisticated people do that. And I thought, well, they come more than one service, that'd be a miracle. But they came for a number of times, and the lady one day says, I want to join the church. And I was kind of shocked because I knew all the things that they were into and just a whole different viewpoint. And so I gave her their church covenant the first time, and she said, I read it, that's fine, that's fine with me. And then I gave her our church pamphlet about what we stand for, and I thought, well, this would be over, you know. And so set up an appointment to meet at their family, and I talked to this lady, and she said to me, I basically said, well, what do you think? And she said, this isn't new to me. I've never been in a church that taught it. But you know, my grandma lived it. When I went to my grandma's house, my grandma lived the way you teach. She didn't play cards. She didn't play the 52-card deck. She didn't go to movies. She didn't wear pants. This way my grandma lived. She said, I never heard it preached, but I know it's the truth because my grandma lived it. But you know, for most people, they would have absolutely no idea that that's the truth. Even Christian people. They would be thinking that we were inventing this thing from outer space. And you know why? Because churches aren't the pillar and ground of the truth. They don't sense that they have a responsibility about tomorrow. They don't sense they have a responsibility of standing for the truth. So at least someone knows what the truth is. That's part of our duty. That's part of our duty. The church is not merely a multiplication factor, which it ought to be and needs to be, but the church has a huge responsibility for tomorrow. And if the church doesn't hold to the truth, ABC won't. Nor any other of the world's institutions. There's a value system. And here we talk about a value system. What is more important? Popularity or truth? I say truth. Present day success or truth for tomorrow? I say truth for tomorrow. Go to the ant, which provideth her meat in the summer. Secondly, and I've already gotten on this. Number one, works while others play. Number two, lives for the future. Turn with me to James 4. Verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. This wisdom. Talking about two different kinds of wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs is wisdom that is from above. And the ant is talking about wisdom that is from above. Now that is contrast to natural wisdom, earthly wisdom. Now, you know what earthly wisdom is? Well, here it is. Earthly wisdom is illustrated by how far can you see? Man can only see as far as the horizon. And we know that's true, you know, because the earth is circular, isn't it? You can't see very far. It's limited by the horizon. But you know, God's wisdom is vertical. Can see the end from the beginning. And the book of Proverbs is about vertical wisdom. And that's why, young people, we need to be in the book of Proverbs. Especially boys need to be in the book of Proverbs. And probably every day ought to read one proverb. Boys need it. We all need it. Girls need it too. The boys really need it. Wisdom from above. The person who lives for the future. And of course, the real future is not the guy who built his barn so he could take the rest of his life easy. He didn't see his eternal future. Living for the future has to do with spiritual eyesight. It's not limited by the horizon. You know, when you're young, Ecclesiastes talks about the deception of youth. When you're young, you'll think you'll never get old. You think you'll never get old. You see your dad, you know, kind of going kind of slow, and you think, man, what is wrong with them? That's not going to happen to me. Right, Wally? Guess what? It does. It does. You know, youth has, within it, the sinful nature has made youth a very deceptive part of youth. I'll never die. I'll never get old. I'll be able to beat up myself and recover. Everything will be fine. I'm not going to die, and it's an illusion. I'm not going to face God. It's an illusion. There isn't going to be a future. Yeah, I'm not going to pay for my loose life. There's not going to be payday. There is going to be a payday. There is always a future. And the person who's living for tomorrow has spiritual eyesight, recognizes there's a real future, that they have a future. You know, isn't it sad? You go to certain places and you see ladies that are 40 and they look like they're 60. You know, a life of sin is terrible. You know, they lived like they didn't have a future. There's plenty of teenagers that lived like they didn't have a future. They lived like everything was right now. And they wasted 2 or 3 years of their youth or longer, and the rest of their life, they pay for it. The rest of their life, they're paying for living like there's not a future. There's a future. There's a future of our life on this earth, but there's also an eternal future. The person who's living for tomorrow, which is God's plan, has spiritual eyesight. They can see the fact that they have a future. They can see that there is a future of their descendants. You think about it. The people who live for the world, their kids pay for it many times the rest of their life. You know, it's selfish to live for yourself. It's selfish to live for today. It's selfish to think there's no future. Because there's a future for everyone. And that future isn't limited to us. That future includes all the people around us. The sad thing, people who commit suicide, they think there's not a future. There is. But the sad thing is, they don't think about the future of all the people around them. Suicide is a very, very selfish thing. And so is sin. Our country is being filled with children born of drug addicts whose brain has been forever affected. Alcoholics bearing children whose brains are affected at birth and for the rest of their life. Sin is selfish. You living for today or tomorrow? Those who live for tomorrow have spiritual eyesight. They can see. Jesus said in the parable, he said, "You fool. You fool. There's something beyond having a big barn. There's an eternity to face." Oh, he was content to have a big barn. He thought nothing about eternity. That's the way the world lives, doesn't it? They think nothing about the future, think nothing about eternity. We should be living for the future. We should be living for our future. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We should be living for the future of the truth. There's very few Christians today that are really concerned about the truth. There's very few Christians that are really concerned about the apostasy. There's very few Christians today who are concerned about the slide in Christianity. As far as I can feel of the isms, is no one wants to admit that it's taking place, especially the people that are a part of it. You know what? No spiritual eyesight. There's a future for our descendants. You know, it doesn't matter what your past is. But today, you can decide that you're going to live for your future descendants. And you know, there's a lot of parents who get saved and they say, you know what? I'm not going to raise my kids the way I was raised. I'm not going to let them experience all the wickedness that I did. No way! I'm going to raise them for God. Praise the Lord. That's normal, isn't it? That's normal with God. Lives for the future. The world lives for now. And the now is represented about how you feel. You know, the flesh is vitally linked to our sinful nature. And the flesh is vitally linked to now. Right? How do I feel now? Well, you know what? I'll go to church if I feel like it. Wonder who is your God? That tells me that your God is you. You know why we go to church? Because God is God. And we don't go to church because how we feel or what happened to us or what tragedy happened to us. That doesn't have anything to do with going to church. Going to church has to do with who our God is. You know? If you lose a loved one, you sorrow. You lose him, never to see him again on this earth. You lose a dad, there's only one dad you can lose. You lose a mom, there's only one mom you can lose. There's sorrow. But you know what? Mom or dad aren't God. That sorrow isn't bigger than God. That doesn't replace God. It isn't bigger than God. God is God. You know what? I'm going to be in the Lord's house. Because how I feel isn't bigger than God. My duty to worship God isn't based on how I feel. It's based on the fact that He's God. You know, it's amazing how many people live by their feelings. Something happens, and you know, something happens and they're a little bit upset and I'm not going to church. What? Your feelings aren't God. God should be the God over your feelings. It's a principle. You know what the principle is? The world lives for now. How I feel now. It's all about ease. It's all about pleasure. It's all about how you feel. You understand something? You don't ever grow if you live by your feelings. Your feelings will always hold you back. You know, I was taught there's a little thing out there, the Marines have this shirt. What does that shirt say about pain? Pain is what? Weakness leaving the body. Sorry, but it's true. Sorry, but it's true. If you know anything about physical development, your muscles do not develop by taking it easy. Your muscles are only developing when you put them through a process of pain. That's why the Bible says, if thy strength fail in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Quite a convicting verse, isn't it? You know, we don't need God's grace in our strength. We need God's grace in our weakness. And our weakness is not a good feeling. The world lives for now. The world lives for ease. The world lives for pleasure. The world wants it now. 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 Got to have everything now. God's people live for the future. And you know, a lot of churches are based on now. They're based on, hey, come to our church. We got the world's music. We got the world's dress. We've got the world's message. Come on. Big crowd. Yeah. What about tomorrow? Lives for the future. So, let's think about that. Are you living for the future? Let's talk about some specific things. Are you doing your best in school? If you aren't, doing the best you can, you're not living for the future, you're living for now. If you're not developing your abilities that you can develop and have the opportunity to develop, and you won't develop them, you aren't living for the future. You're living for now. If we don't take seriously reading our Bible and studying our Bible and working to stay right with God, we're not living for tomorrow, we're living for today. We could just say a number of different things. Churches live for today, a lot of them. A lot of us live for today. Whenever we sin, it's probably because we're living for today and not tomorrow. The devil is an expert at causing us to be blind about the future and says, oh, you want it now, you want it now, you want it now, you want it now. And just like it says in Proverbs, knows not that the dead are there. Notice one other thing about the ant. Not only works while others play, not only lives for the future, but the ant is motivated from the inside. The ant is motivated from within. Now notice what it says. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Okay, you know what that means? There's no mom or there's no dad bothering you, asking you, you have your devotions today? Now obviously, I encourage parents to do that. But there's no one saying, hey, did you witness anybody this week? There wasn't anybody saying, hey, need to practice your instrument. There isn't anybody saying, hey, did you do your homework? There isn't any pastor there saying, hey, you know what? You need to live for God. No one there. having no guide, overseer, or ruler. Now we need a pastor because God said so. We're human. But notice the ant. There isn't anybody out there with a club. There's no one out there with a protest sign. Do right. Do right. Do right. You know, Joseph isn't there saying the famine's coming. And so what do we learn? Learn that the key of life is being motivated from the inside by God. A person who lives by inner life, by inner principle, by inner truth, by inner presence of God. That's what life is all about. Is the inward work, the inward motivation. You know, that's what life's all about. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's our job. We realize that if we let sin take away our heart, we have lost the voice of that inner motivation. God needs to be the one who is motivating us. The Holy Spirit. It should be the Holy Spirit that we're listening to. And boy, you're tempted. You're tempted to do it halfway. You're tempted to do it the easy way. You're tempted to do a sloppy job. What is it? What is it? It has to be the work of God on the inside that says, do all to the glory of God. Amen? It's got to be on the inside. It has to be real. Young person, every one of you are going to grow up. Did you know that? And you're going to be old like me someday. Can you imagine that? Whoa! It won't be a mom and dad there to tell you to do right. And you know what? The fact is, you'll be a young adult real fast. And guess what? Who's going to keep you on the straight and narrow? There's only one person to keep you on the straight and narrow. That is God. And it's got to be real. And you know, I'm not taking this literally, but in one sense of the word, you know what? There's not any magic about growing up. Did you know that? There isn't some magic moment that all of a sudden you become an adult. The fact is, you are an adult right now. Because all the processes of an adult are taking place right in your own life, right now. The big process is the consciousness of God. Here's a second grader. Mom says, take the garbage out. Guess what? Right then, they're going to make an adult decision. They're going to make a decision to take out the garbage and do it the right way. Or they're going to decide to do it their way. You know, that's an adult decision. You know, you get up, you can get up from bed in the morning, and you know, you have to make an adult decision. And you know what it is? Are you going to make the bed or not? Right? That's an adult decision. You look at the thing and you say, I'm going to make it. Or you're going to say, I'm not going to make it. And that's the exact same decision a child makes. Why would you decide to make it? You know why? Because it's right. Now I realize that it doesn't always work that way, but you know what? Typically, it's right. That's the right thing. You're supposed to make your bed. You know, that's pretty simple, but where does that motivation come from? That kind of thinking has to come from God. That's an adult process. There isn't a magic day when you become an adult. Everybody is making adult decisions every day. And the ant doesn't have a guide, overseer, or ruler. It's sad when you see young people grow up and they get away from the guide, overseer, or ruler, and then they show everybody who they really are and really have been all along. Now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're sinners. What are we going to do? There's this battle between the flesh and the spirit. What are we going to do? What is our future going to be? Our future is going to be what we decide it's going to be. Our future has to do with doing right. Our future has to do with deciding, identifying the flesh. It's love for ease. It's love for pleasure. It's linked to the sinful nature. We're going to identify the enemy within, the enemy of laziness, the enemy of procrastination, the enemy of wishful thinking, the enemy of good intentions without action. You have to identify the enemy. We have to magnify our actions into the future. We have to magnify our actions into the future. You know, our little kids, every once in a while we'd get one that, you know, you'd slap their hand because whatever they did. And once in a while, one of them would slap back. And I know it's almost laughable. Because, you know, here's this little pipsqueak, you know, they're going to resist mom and dad. You know, it's the height of deception, and it's almost laughable. But as a parent, you think, well, I'm going to magnify this. What if this child was a teenager and they thought they could slap back at mom and dad? Well, when they're a teenager, mom and dad could be dead. This isn't laughable. Magnify our actions into the future. And say, if this goes on, what will it produce? If we don't live for the future, we will sacrifice our future. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make a mistake. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, I hate that verse sometimes. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I hate that verse when a tie comes off the tie rack. You know, you're getting your tie for Sunday morning and two or three of them fall to the ground. And you think, I don't want to pick those things up. I don't want to pick those things up. Why'd they have to fall? And the Holy Spirit says, to him that doeth knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Oh boy, that's miserable. Now I'm sure my wife is glad that I listen to the Holy Spirit once in a while. But you know, I could be a real slob real fast if you didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can give us victory over the now and help us to live for the future. Every day there's a battle over now versus the future. A battle over being lazy and doing our duty. A battle over taking the easy way or doing the right thing. The battle over living by our feelings or by living for the truth of God's Word. It's just the same old battle. Sin against God. And self against the Holy Spirit. That's why there's so many people who are living for today and ruin their future. Are we living for today? You know, the person in the world, you know what they say? I don't want to get saved. I got too much living to do. What they mean is they got too much dying to do. Too much sin they want to live in their life. And they'll wreck their whole future. I want to just thank the Lord for many of you young people living for God right now. I want to thank the Lord for you. You know what? The world says you're crazy. And the devil says you're wasting your life. But let me tell you something. You are building your life. You are building your character. You are building your future. And it will be a blessed future. There is a price to pay. There always is a price to pay. The price is always today. And the blessing will always be tomorrow. Live for tomorrow. Put the present at the altar. Put the present at the altar of the eternal. Don't burn and sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the present. That's the battle, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these principles of the Word of God. And Lord, over and over every day, we are faced with the decision whether we will live for today, for the feeling of the moment, or whether we will live for what's right and for the future. Lord, help us to have spiritual eyes. Help us to see beyond the lies of all the temptations, the flesh, the eyes, the acclaim of men, all of these temporary things. Help us to see beyond that, Lord. Help us to think of our future with you. Think of eternity. Think of our descendants. Think of the future of the work of God, the prosperity of the gospel. Help us, Lord, to have spiritual eyesight. And Lord, may we be able to understand that the key to life is this inner walk with You. This inner relationship where we listen to You, where our heart is in tune with You, where we are given, Lord, and by choice to the right motives of life, the glory of God, the praise of God, the fellowship of God. May, Lord, You help us even to make decisions tonight in that regard. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart. Every one of us face this daily. But the Lord is speaking to your heart. Maybe you've been caught up in the whole process of living for today. Living by your feelings. Living by what's easy. Living by pleasure in front of duty. Living for today's approval and not God's approval tomorrow. The Lord is speaking to you tonight about maybe some specific actions in your life that you say, you know what, that's right, that's living for today and not living for tomorrow. It might ruin your life. A little bit of temporary pleasure and ruin your whole future. God is speaking to your heart. Perhaps the Lord is telling you tonight that even though you are living for the future, that oftentimes you succumb to the lies of temptation in putting the now in front of the future. Or perhaps the Lord is speaking to you about this very important issue of growing up, where you don't have to have your mom and dad telling you to do what's right. Where you decide. Where you decide that you are going to live for the future because you decided that you would put God first in your life. And God is speaking to your heart tonight and say, Pastor, pray with me. Yes, the Spirit of God is speaking to my life. There's a definite decision that I, by God's grace, a response that I'm making right now to the Lord because I know the Lord is speaking to me. Well, just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay? Praise the Lord. Others, I know the Spirit of God is speaking to me. There's a specific response I need to make. Yes, amen. Amen. Others, okay? Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. A specific response. Spirit of God has tugged at my soul. I don't know about it, but God does. And you know. And you're wrestling with the Lord. And you need to say, yes, Lord. I want Your will done in my life. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, thank You for the opportunity to think about these important principles. And we thank You for Your people. And Lord, I wish we could just say we could learn it all at once in one decision. I know it's not that way. But I pray that You'll give grace and that Your Spirit, Lord, would carry further and following up on these decisions, and that, Lord, that You would be glorified as we put into practice living for tomorrow and not for today. Help us to see through the temptation of sin to live for today and not think of tomorrow. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the invitation as God's people need to respond. In Jesus' name.